We're talking now with Jessie Webster. She is Republican candidate for Bonner County Assessor. Jessie, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start out with an introduction. Introduce yourself to the voters. Tell a bit about your background, how long you've been in Sandpoint, how you got here, kind of stuff.
So my name is Jessie Webster, obviously, and I grew up in Bonner County. I grew up on Upper Pack River Road. My parents moved us up here, much to our dismay, when we were that young. I guess I was probably in the fourth or fifth grade. And
just out in the sticks.
In the sticks. And, you know, Upper Pack River in the 80s wasn't a very, you know, it was kind of the Wild West of the 1980s.
I know that road was rough getting up
it
there.
It was. Yeah. And it was absolutely not paved at any part of it back then. So, I after high school, I left. I went to Boise State University. I have a degree in English, a bachelor's degree in English, and a minor in secondary education. I also have an educational technology certificate from Boise State. I moved around a lot. My ex-husband is in the military. After our separation, I moved back up to Bonner County with my daughters because I just needed to be close to family, and I knew that this was the place that I wanted to be and spend the rest of my life. So I've been back here since 2010, and both my daughters have since graduated from Sandpoint High School, and my daughter Bailey and her husband Caden live in Sagal, and I'm going to be a first-time grandmother in October. And my daughter Evelyn is a junior at San Diego State University. She is a junior and she's studying psychology, but right now she's having a little bit of fun abroad in Europe for this semester. So, I am engaged to be married, significant other. We're getting married in June. We've been together for 12 years. He's also resides here, longtime resident. That's me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, tell us about the pertinent professional experience you might have.
Well, I currently am an employee of Bonner County. So I've been in the commissioner's office for almost 7 years. So my title is operations manager. So you take it for what you will. I do a little bit of everything. The commissioners have departments that directly report to them. And so I kind of view my job as sort of a liaison between those departments and the commissioners, although obviously the board has the ultimate say over things. So I have a staff. I have a couple people that work for me. So, you know, I have management experience in that capacity, although I do have previous management experience with the jobs that I've done before. My biggest reason that I'm running is because I feel like the issues that are happening in the assessor's office right now correlate directly to my job, as in my corporate knowledge and internal knowledge will be extremely impactful. So that's what I bring to the table professionally. I belong to a couple boards. Is that?
I was going to ask you, are there nonprofit groups you belong to?
Yeah, I am on the board of directors for the Community Resource Envision Center. It's pretty near and dear to my heart. I think we're all seeing, you know, this population growth that gives us concerns about homelessness and housing resources and various things like that. So those are always topics of discussion. We have a wonderful board and recently moved out to Ponderay to a bigger space. And I'm also a founding member of North Idaho Way, which my goal when I joined that group was I'm pretty passionate about civic education and how we get younger individuals to start voting and to become involved. And so that was my goal when I joined that group. I didn't see much of that happening per se in Bonner County with other groups.
Mm-hmm. Kind of trying to get young people engaged in local decision making.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was having a discussion with a friend of my daughter's who's about 30, and he said, "I'm going to vote for the first time this year." And part of me was just shocked, but another part of me wasn't. And I just feel that it's, hate to use the word travesty, I feel that's a little strong, but I think that as a community, we could definitely do more to get our young people engaged in the civics and the processes.
Yeah, I agree to that. You know, we want to bring the young folks on board. Here's a question I'm asking everybody. If elected, how much time will you spend in office each week?
Oh, I'm a full-time employee. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm probably more than a full-time employee. You know, I go on my yearly vacations, but I think it's important you put your 8 hours a day in or whatever it might be. That's such a terrible term, 8 hours a day, but and readily available also. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm not there for some reason, by phone, by email, I'm always available.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, on to the issues here. What do you consider to be the biggest issues in the assessor's race that you'd like voters to consider as they decide who they're going to vote for?
Well, the top two issues that I consider to be, well, my top two, commercial assessments. We see a disproportionately low value to commercial assessments than residential assessments. And it makes me, you know, wonder if the residents aren't bearing the burden of some of these lower commercial assessments. So that's number one. And number two is, you know, we're kind of in a boom right now. Lots of people moving here. So we have these exemptions that the assessor's office feels, these agricultural and timber exemptions. And of course, we have people that have lived in Bonner County for years that are using these exemptions to their benefit, and they're abiding by the laws, and they're doing so appropriately. But with the influx of new population, we have a lot that aren't. And so these exemptions, they have requirements, and we need to make sure that these requirements are being met. Because if they're not being met, all that exemption turns into is a tax shift for the rest of Bonner County.
Mm-hmm. So what's an example of an exemption like so you're talking about?
Well, we could talk about forestry. So when you buy a piece of property, you have the option of getting a hold of a forester, having him come out and him or her build you a forestry management plan, which then gets turned in with an application to the assessor's office for a forestry exemption. There's some other requirements, acreage and things like that. But when you submit that plan, the intention of submitting the plan is that you're going to abide by or adhere to that plan and what that plan requires you to do yearly or, you know, biannually or whatever it is. The problem is we have people that have plans that are quite obviously not abiding by those plans. And that's definitely one of the requirements of the exemptions. Mm-hmm. You know, so we do have a forester that the assessor's office hired last year, and he is starting to go through these plans. But, you know, you have thousands of these exemptions and you have one person going through paperwork that could be substantially old. I mean, old. So he's having to not only dig through files, because some of it may not be scanned, but he's also having to go and do, you know, visits essentially to talk with the homeowner to see if they're adhering to the plan. So to catch up on all that work is going to take this one man quite a long time. So he needs some assistance, and we need to figure out a better way to manage these.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other issues that you would identify?
We have some other small, I think, you know, obviously in the grand scheme of things, the assessor is not a, you know, they're not an executive body, I guess you could say. We don't make policy for the county. We're in charge of appraisals, all types of appraisals, you know, for obviously for property tax basis. In their office, you know, we do have some issues. We have some customer service issues we need to address. They really need some technology upgrades. You know, when an appraiser is still going out to a piece of property with a field sheet, a piece of paper, you know, the notations on that piece of paper can lead to some pretty big data entry errors. And unfortunately, we've seen a few. We saw one last year that cost the county and the taxing districts about $153,000. And so we need to streamline technology, definitely find a way to make the processes work better. There's also, like I said, just mentioned processes. They need to, I know that the state has checklists. So we need to require that our employees are utilizing these checklists when they're inputting or when they're doing the various things that they do in the office. So I'm not sure how often they're looking at these SOPs, for lack of a better term, provided by the state checklists. And so we need to make sure we're really following what's statutorily required of the employees and the appraisers and the assessor and everybody in the office.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One thing that the assessor's office has oversight is DMV. Mm-hmm. Do you see any issues there with DMV?
Well, I mean, beside the obvious, you know, complaints that you see on social media about long wait times and it taking a long time in the office. And, you know, that unfortunately was due to a software switch, and that's mandated by the state, not by the county. So we didn't implement that software. Unfortunately, what happens is there's not much opportunity for training, real life training, where they put you in an actual training environment to use this software. So what happened is the software was implemented and our staff was just kind of like, You know, they really just didn't have that live training that they probably needed.
The software you're referring to that connects our county to the state database?
Mm-hmm, Idaho Transportation Department, mm-hmm. Department of Transportation. And so that was the cause of a lot of those long waits. Now I've heard rumors of what they call, I guess, decentralization, where, you know, the state is going to take a lot of these registrations online and whatnot, they're going to take the income from these things back as they're being the administer of it and not us. And so that's going to lead to a decrease in funding for our DMV come October. Mm-hmm. Now, what that looks like, I don't think it's set in stone yet. We all know what happens when, you know, an agency loses a huge amount of funding. So I'm hopeful that that's not the case. You know, there are still things that we need to do in person, like VIN inspections and things like that. So I guess the focus right now is just to really get in there and talk to the staff and see what's going well, what's not going well. I think there's been a lack of that. Just really get in the trenches and see what's going on now that they've worked some of those kinks out with the software and see if those, you know, those systems implemented, the take a ticket and the pagers, and just see if there's something better that we can do to help the people in Bonner County.
Okay. I have a couple of questions here. With property values soaring, there's a real concern among many local homeowners that they simply won't be able to afford their own homes at some point. What would you say to those folks?
So one of the things, like I said, you know, before with my passion is outreach to the community. So I think that there's a real lack of knowledge as to what programs are available for that population. So we have some exemptions, the property tax reduction exemption. You know, we want to make sure that they're getting all the exemptions that they possibly can that's appropriate to them. We also want to make sure that, you know, the treasurer's office is working with these people. There's various things that the treasurer's office can do for them as far as paying their taxes. What I will say from a statutory standpoint is that the assessor's office is required by law to be at 100% of market value. So unfortunately, with, you know, house prices soaring, 100% of market value is going to be pretty scary. We're going to see probably some pretty big increases. But as everybody's prices increase, the correlation to what they're going to pay in taxes, it may not go up. For example, I just did looked into an issue for a constituent or a customer the other day. And in the last 2 years, even with the increasing home prices, her taxes only raised $2.44. Mm-hmm. So it's really, my thought is it's really about being proactive and making sure that they're getting all the assistance that they possibly can get.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another question here. Each year, the legislature seems to talk about enacting different plans for property tax relief, but not much seems to come to fruition there.
Right.
Is there a role that county assessors could play in, you know, getting property tax relief at the legislature?
Well, I think what you'd have to do is come together as a united force. And I know that they, you know, the Idaho Association of Counties really puts the assessors in contact with one another and really keeps them apprised of what's going on. I think you just advocate for assessors to actually, and commissioners to actually go, and treasurers for that matter, to actually have a chance to speak and potentially review the legislation before they just hastily put something together. Typically on its face, it looks pretty good, but when you dive into the details, it's not a good, it's a hastily enacted piece of legislation. Mm-hmm. And I understand the need for it and the priority, but there really needs to be some thought put into it. What I see more often than not is that you have a bill written, but nobody consulted the entity that they're writing it for. You know, nobody consulted the county, nobody consults the municipality. So you have these, you know, legislators that have never been county officials or, you know, in any capacity writing legislation for counties and municipalities, and it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One more question here.
Okay.
What differentiates you from other candidates? Why should people vote for you?
Well, I'm not doing this because I want to be a politician, because the last thing in the world I want to be is a politician. Like I said, I've worked in the commissioner's office for almost 7 years, and I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm doing this because I have a sincere interest in the this office and running this office and the processes. And I think that I can bring a very positive and impactful, you know, plan and just vision to this office. I mean, I feel like the assessor's office has operated under this shroud of mystery for so long. And I really feel like it's time to come out of that. You know, let's do some outreach. Let's bring people in. I'm really passionate about that. And I think that our appraisers and office staff should be as well.
Okay. Jesse Webster, how can people, weighing how they might vote, find out more about you? Do you have a website or a Facebook?
I do.
Or,
we're working on that. The website, it's a little more to it than, you know, I mean, so it's a component. It should be up within the next week or so. And that will be WebsterForAssessor.com. And then my cell phone, which I don't mind giving out, is 208-585-7051. My email address is Jesse, JessieWebster4Assessor@gmail.com. So JessieWebster4Assessor@gmail.com.
Well, Jesse Webster, thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
You are absolutely welcome. Mm-hmm.